We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Happy New Year. This is something that many people say this time of year, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Really, we wish everyone a Happy New Year. And a lot of times, people will add other phrases to that, such as a happy and blessed new year or a happy and prosperous new year. But one thing that we need to first of all think and realize is, first of all, that God does desire for us to have a blessed new year. And that may not always mean that everything's going to be nice and smooth, but it is right for us to wish that people would have a happy new year and would have a blessed new year. And one of the things that we need to realize when we're thinking about this is to realize that, first of all, God is sovereign, and sometimes He may want to take you through a difficult period, and He may actually lead you through that difficult period to make you stronger, to draw you closer to Him, or to glorify Himself in you or through you. And we'll talk about some of those things today. But also, we need to realize that if this year wasn't happy, and it wasn't happy because of maybe certain things that you could have changed by maybe being more diligent to do certain things or not do certain things or say certain things or not say certain things, then things next year will likely be the same unless you change. And so we'll be talking about this also, the importance of our inner being changing and prospering for us to be in health and prosper outwardly. And so, first of all, we're going to look at a passage or a verse, a phrase that we quite often quote. In fact, we quote it every sermon. After every sermon, we quote this passage, and it is from Numbers chapter 26, beginning of verse 24. We read, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." So this is, should be our hope for others. This is a passage, actually, if we look at the Bible, the actual original passage of that, this is what Moses instructed Aaron at the direction of God, that Aaron and his sons were to use this phrase, and of course it wasn't in English, it was in Hebrew, but they were to use this phrase to bless the congregation of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. So that is, first of all, realizing and acknowledging that all blessings come from God. Anything good in your life comes from God. And the Lord keep you. So that is His ability to keep us even when sometimes we want to go astray. And sometimes when we may go through a difficult period, that God would still be there keeping us. The Lord make His face shine upon you. So the The presence of God shining upon you is important, and be gracious to you. One of the things, really, if we look at life and we look at really what we deserve, every one of us deserves death and hell. The fact that we aren't there now is because God is gracious and merciful. And it is good for us to wish that others would have God's grace applied to them. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And this peace can happen even in the midst of a storm. God can keep you even in the midst of a storm. His face can shine upon you even in the midst of a storm. As Corrie Ten Boom, who was a survivor of a Nazi Holocaust camp, she was there and arrested with her father and her sister for actually rescuing Jewish people during the Nazi Holocaust. She was actually involved in hiding them and smuggling them, and then was then arrested and put into a concentration camp. Her dad died in that concentration camp. Her sister died in the concentration camp. She was released by a quote-unquote clerical error. But one of the quotes that she said is that there is no pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still. Even in the midst of her suffering, in the midst of her of the pain that she was going through, in the midst of the hardship she was going through, she still saw God keeping her. She still saw God's grace upon her. She still saw God giving her peace. And even things that would in ordinary circumstances be looked at as a curse, like having lice, that was actually looked at as a blessing, because when the women had lice, the Nazi soldiers would leave them alone in their dormitory. And so they rejoiced that they had lice, that God had granted them to have this pest that the Nazi soldiers didn't want to have themselves. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So we are going to look, first of all, at also another passage in 3 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter in 3 John. Verse 2. This is something that I pray for people quite often. I pray for my family. I pray for my loved ones. I pray for my friends. I pray this for you, that beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And we're going to break down this verse and actually talk about some of the, and actually define some of the words there. But before we do, just to take everything and keep everything in context, we've already referenced this to some extent, but just to keep everything in context, we need to look at some other passages of Scripture, because there are times that we may go through difficult times, and some of those difficulties are God bringing us through that to either teach us a lesson, to refine us, to make us more pure, more like him, to develop in us, hone us like he would like us to be, or to glorify himself, or to allow us to partake in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at, first of all, James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So the prophets weren't doing anything wrong. They were fulfilling the word of the Lord. Yet many of them suffered for doing so. Jeremiah, you may recall, was thrown into a pit and left to die. He was persecuted. Many of the prophets were persecuted. I believe that even Isaiah, who really has a lot of, he was really one of the more positive prophets. But I've heard that he was actually sawn in two. So you see that some of these prophets endured great things and some of them were actually martyred for actually gave their life for the message that God called them to deliver. And yet they weren't doing anything wrong, but they still endured and they suffered that with patience. And James here tells people to be patient. And he also talks about Job. So Job was someone that really, he didn't personally do anything wrong, and he wasn't being persecuted for his righteousness, but God was testing him, and there was a test that was put in front of him by the devil. The devil wanted to harm him and wanted to say, hey, he's going to curse you if he's blessing you, he's following you because of all the goodness. And God allowed the devil to actually take from him many things, including his children and his wealth and his health. But in the end, the Bible says that God gave him much more. So we see the end, that God is compassionate. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, it's important to realize that that period of time is not going to be there forever. There's a phrase in the Bible, it came to pass. And of course, that phrase means that it happened. But another way of looking at that is that whatever we're going through is temporary and will pass. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. When we're climbing the mountain and we're struggling and it's difficult to do that, we need to know that we're going to reach the mountaintop one time. And then we're going to be able to be on the downhill slope as we come past the top of that mountain. And as we're going through those low times in life, we need to realize that God can bring us through that, and that that is just a temporary period of time in our lives. We also see in 1 Peter an admonition to us to be patient in suffering, even for righteousness' sake. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, we read, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." So servants, even those who were really, this was a form of slavery, were told to be submissive, even if their master was harsh, to be submissive. Why? In verse 19, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." So if you suffer wrongfully because of doing good, that is commendable. But in verse 20, "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" So if we do something that's wrong and we suffer for it, what good is that? I mean, it's what should have happened. It's no honor to us if we take that patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So there are times where you're doing everything right, you're doing what God wants you to do, but you still will suffer and you'll bear a consequence for that. And that is commendable, the Bible here says. Verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So we see this passage really is pretty amazing. If we suffer for righteousness' sake, we should have the same attitude as Jesus had, who was reviled but didn't revile in return, who suffered persecution and obviously much more greater persecution than anyone has ever suffered. Yet he did that without sin. He didn't revile back. He didn't hold bitterness or resentment against those who were persecuting him. But it says that he so committed himself to him who judges righteously. And you see, when you're wronged by someone else, you don't have to defend yourself. You can take that. You don't have to hold resentment or bitterness against them. In fact, holding resentment and bitterness against them will actually eat at you and will harm you. It will not harm the other person. It will only harm you. It will harm your health. It will harm you in other ways. And it will harm you spiritually. And we are supposed to not hold resentment, to not be bitter, but to place that person in God's hands, because God judges righteously. And God is able to bring retribution to those who have sinned. He's able also, and this should be our hope, to convict someone, the person, of their sin, and to cause them to repent of their sin so that their sins can be forgiven and they can know grace and the peace of God and eternal life, just like we have that opportunity as we have repented of our sins and turned to Him. But when those who do not, God is able and capable of bringing His judgment and retribution upon them. And we should place people in His hands. And there's a phrase in the Bible that says, "The Lord judge between me and thee," or in the modern English, "between me and you." And we should really place people in God's hands and allow God to judge them. And we're going to go back here to that 3 John verse 2, where John says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So one of the things that we see in the Bible that promises of God and blessings of God are conditional. And so we actually can look at this, and the condition here is that we actually praise God, that we actually honor Him, that our soul prospers. In order for us to prosper and be in health, our soul also needs to prosper. And this word prosper is in the Strong's Concordance, it's word 2139. It's eudo, pronounced is pronounced like voodoo. It's from a compound of two other words in the Greek. And this actually means to help on the road passively, to succeed in reaching figuratively, to succeed in business affairs, have a prosperous journey. So John here is saying that he wants us to prosper, to be blessed, to have have God's goodness upon us, even in our business affairs, even in our work. And so this may mean if you have a business, if you are a entrepreneur, it may mean you prospering in your business. If you are working for someone else, it may mean you developing additional skills, and based on those skills that are valuable to your company that you're working for, being rewarded, maybe having a raise, maybe having a promotion that also includes a raise, maybe training others, being used to train others to in how you actually have done things and being rewarded for that. So this is what he is talking about when he talks about prosper. And then he says that you would prosper and be in health. And this word in the Greek is word 5198 in the Strong's Concordance. And it is pronounced hugiahino. And this is to have sound health, i.e. to be well in body. Figuratively, to be uncorrupt, true in doctrine, to be in health, be safe and sound, to be whole and wholesome. So you see here that he's talking about being in health. He's talking about really not only physical health, but also spiritual health or doctrinal health as well. And of course, the next part of this verse really shows how clearly and important that is, because he's saying that he wishes that we would prosper and be in health. How? Even as our soul prospers. He would wish that we would prosper and be in health. And our soul here is word 5590 in the Strong's Concordance. And from the Strong's Concordance, it means this: a breath, by implication, spirit, abstract or concretely, the animal sentient principle only, thus distinguished from, on the one hand, from word 4151, which is the rational and immortal soul, and on the other from 2222, which is more vitality, even of plants. These terms thus extract correspondence referenced from other Hebrew words. So this means the mind, soul, us, and you. And Spiros Odiades, the Greek Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible, he defines it as this: a psuche, soul, the immortal or immaterial part of man held in common with animal. It's contrasted with sumo, the body, and pneuma, the spirit. The psuche, no less than the stars, flesh, belong to the lower region of man's being. Sometimes psuche stands for the immaterial part of man made up of the soul. Psuche is in the restrictive sense of the animus, the life element, and the pneuma, spirit. But animals are not said to possess a spirit. This is only in man, giving him the ability to communicate with God. And Vine's expository dictionary defines it this way. It says that this denotes breath, the breath of life, then the soul in the various meanings, in its various meanings. The New Testament uses many, or the New Testament uses may be analyzed approximately as follows: the seat of personality, the seat of sentient element in man, that by which he perceives, reflects, feels, desires, the seat of will and purpose, the seat of appetite, the inner man, the seat of the new life. So here, John is saying, I wish that you would prosper even in your business and be in health in your body and also doctrinally, even as your soul, which here again can mean your mind, the part of you that is your life, your being, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, the seat of will and purpose, the seat of appetite. So how many times do we have things in our life that we don't like and that we don't appreciate and we wish we're different, that are there because we lack discipline in the soul, because we allow our feelings to rule us as opposed to allowing them to be in subjection to the Word of God, that we allow our appetite to rule us, that we allow our desires to rule us, that we allow our will to rule us as opposed to working and bringing that will in subjection to the will of God. And we should always be meditating on God's word and abiding in God's word so that our soul can be purified and our soul can prosper even and as our soul prospers, then John here is wishing that we would prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And that is our prayer and should be our prayer for those that we see today, that we would prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
I adore you, King of the throne. I love you, King of the throne. I praise you, King of the throne. I worship you, King of the throne. I adore you, King of the throne. I love you, King of the throne. I praise you. I come to you with humble heart, with tears falling down my face. Captivate my heart, no Lord. I can't wait to see you now. I speak to you, Lord, from my heart. Surrender to you all my thoughts. Melt my heart now, Jesus Christ. I wanna feel with you right now. King of the throne, I worship you. King of the throne, I adore you. King of the throne, I love you. King of the throne, I praise you. King of the throne, I worship you. King of the throne, I adore you. King of the throne, I love you. King of the throne, I praise you. I always want to hear you, Lord, whisper quietly in my heart. Make me more like Jesus Christ.